Conference Committee on House Bill 2248 on Tuesday, July 6, 1999, at 3 p.m. in Harriman Theater, State Capitol.
Please,
I'm going to the future.
I have sense of yours. Oh, Representative Decker, nice to join us. Thanks so much. Did you get out of class early this afternoon?
Mr. Chairman, what you have here is House Bill 2248C. It was amended in the Senate. The House did not concur with the Senate amendments, and it's back here to decide two things. One, what will you do about the Senate amendments? And secondly, there are some proposed new amendments to the bill for your consideration. All but two of those, I believe, have been distributed to the committee.
Maybe we could have staff explain what the amendments were that were made in the Senate.
The amendment in the Senate deleted the prohibition that a health care facility be one of the activities that can qualify for the benefits of this program. There's a list of services that don't count. Primarily, these are services that are in the retail sector as opposed to serving under manufacturers or wholesalers or not in the retail business. But among those that are disqualified are retail sales or services, child care, housing, retail food service, health care, and tourism. What the Senate amendment did was took the health care prohibition out, so they're no longer excluded. And then it made provisions under of the conditions by which a health care provider could receive the benefits of the program.
Mr. Chair. Thank you. I wonder, could you also characterize what happened in the House, the opposition, what was the nature of the opposition to the Senate?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Goodley,
I wasn't there, so if the chair would tell me, I would be happy to. I think in terms of the House's concerned about the Senate amendments because it applied to one specific person, there's a retroactive effect. If I'm not mistaken, it's like about $4 million. Under the person be eligible for, and that the enterprise zone is no longer in existence in the latest facility using them as retroactive.
$4 million of the cost of the value, not the tax amount.
So, okay.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I had a little hard time hearing down here, but I just want to clarify that. It was retroactive, and it was for one individual, and it would reduce their property values $4 million. Is that what I understand you're saying? Mr. Chairman, that's not what enterprise zones are for. That's not what they were intended for, and it sure should be excluded. I couldn't agree with you or not concurring more.
Mr. Chair, you get intended one in the particular location, but the way it could be applied to many other sectors of industry, such as that the 40, 50 miles away from the major cities, and the population certainly not more than. And so that was one of the conditions, not specifically just one of the questions.
Mr. Chair. Just for information, because this facility is somewhat new to me, what was the nature of the facility that was in question in terms of that we not concurred on? I believe it was healthcare related.
Mr. Chair, if I may. Mm-hmm. There has been a patient in Astoria area that the for the dialysis. They all have to go to Portland area. And so this Dr. Park, with his borrowed money, and investing with more than $3 million, cost me job creation to more than 20% in that area. And as soon as the money is borrowed and the investment in it, and that we might not be able to make it without some debt break on it. When you apply for it, and it was denied. Because of the action that the Senate did, he put my name. He happens to be a Korean American, I am, so I think what I might be able to help him. And so that's what I did. It's supported by the Representative Taylor from the district. I got a letter from the mayor. Let's say if you could appoint it. And so, if I remain, Mr. Chair, I have the amendment that instead of giving him granted, that the tax benefits, that we want to make sure this amendment is supposed to apply for the assembly and county to get our approval. So, local option is very important. We are not just giving them just a blanket. That's the C-19 amendment and also C-20 amendment.
Mr. Chairman,
I may ask a follow-up question on this letter from the City of Astoria. How many kidney patients are there in Clatsop County that this facility be treating?
I don't have any full knowledge of it.
Okay, that is pretty important, but we don't know how many there are. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, under your current enterprise zone, we have hotels and motels to allow sports to the underground enterprise zone. So we also have to keep the city area,
And then I think in terms of one of the problems here is that the enterprise zone in Astoria is no longer in existence.
So would this deal allow them to do that?
It's retroactive, it's not into the future.
So it's up to the Assyrian Council.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gorman.
Thank you very much. I also have in front of me now the letter from Mayor, I think it's Van Dusen.
Yeah.
And because we are talking about the nature of the medical facility, or at least that's one of the issues that surfaced thus far, I just want to make sure that we put on record exactly what kind of facility we're talking about, according to the mayor of the city of Astoria. And he describes the facility as Dr. Park's multi-million dollar medical center will provide dialysis for kidney patients who might otherwise be unable to reach Portland for treatment. Dr. Park also will provide oncology medicine and other specialties that have been unavailable in Clatsop County. Dr. Park's project will provide more than 60 permanent family wage jobs in our community. So, well, Mr. Chair, we don't know exactly how many patients, and that is a question that's come up, are being treated. We do have some other information, some other facts that have been provided to us by the mayor of the city of Astoria to consider.
I guess I have a comment and a question. Comment is that there's a reason that they stay away from retail provision of services and enterprise zones, and it's a healthy reason. You could imagine a scenario of, the dialysis unit from Sacred Heart Hospital just split off Sacred Heart to their own independent entity now, and you could imagine Kendall Willamette Hospital, for instance, doing the same deal, and you'd have basically tax break in a competitive environment. It'd be pretty dangerous. But now to the real deal, the real question I have, Mr. Chair, is that instead of dancing around this issue, I'd like to just put it on the table. What are the chances of this bill moving forward? We have some amendments to look at, some additional amendments to look at. What are the chances of this bill moving forward with a passage on the House floor with the current amendments in there?
I think slim to the moon out of this conference today.
Mr. Chair, I think in the Senate, I guess, that those senators present, they all voted for the bill. And by the fact that it's in the Senate, I think we have a good chance in the House to pass the bill as it is. But this is also the Congress Committee to make a final decision. I believe, Mr. Chair, that this additional amendment, I believe it is a reasonable and good compromise. If there is no compromise, only Senate way, only House way, I don't think it's going to work. I think it's a good, prudent, and moderate approach. Making sure they don't get it automatically, but the local option is important.
May I follow up? Just interested in your statement that the measure isn't going to get out of committee. Is that based on a vote count that you've already taken, or I'm just trying to figure out why I'm here?
The conference committee was appointed. It takes too much on both sides to move forward, and our options are that the House can accept the Senate amendments from the previous event. The House could accept the previous amendments with additional amendments, or the House could accept the same amendments with additional amendments. The Senate could proceed in their amendments. The Senate could proceed in their amendments and adopt additional amendments, or we can agree not to come to any conclusion and ask for additional questions to be reappointed, and we can come back and try it again, or we can sit around here and work it out.
Okay, I appreciate hearing those options laid out, because your statement was that it wasn't going to move out of time.
And I know you looked on the outside to go forward with the Senate amendments as they exist today that would be a retroactive tax rate.
Other options I like to propose, I don't know if you can make it. I think you all of you for that. And one way I have discussed with my staff and members and many others the option and the possibility we can work it out. One option is C-19, the other option, C-20 instead of not only local option, we give them only December 31st. That is the one option I have there. And the last option I have in mind, instead of we discuss here, we can be put wait and means. And since there's some financial impact in it, maybe wait and means, we can discuss that, and then also get a way to move out. We all of you.
Senator Lynn, I believe it's an option to go to ways and means, office creating if not, send anywhere else.
I spoke to the president and the meeting chair, and he said no problem.
I would disagree with the Senate President and the Chair of Ways and Means that there's nothing in the rules that allows us to send this measure from the Conference Committee to Ways and Means.
There are any rules to specify we cannot do that, or it's decided on the Conference.
I would suggest that that is not one of our options in the Conference Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So your options are limited. You want to go and try to see if you can get a bill out of Ways and Means that has this language in it. More power to you. I wish you well in your efforts, but I don't think this should be the vehicle for that.
Okay, I just provided some of the options.
So the Chair would move that the Senate receive the amendments dated the Senate minutes.
Okay.
Minutes to House Bill 23, dated June 17, 1999. Discussion?
Yeah,
Chair's move that the Senate receive an amendment to House Bill 48, dated June
17, 1999. Mr. Chairman, I'll be supporting your motion. This is giving a special tax break to somebody. We've done that in the past, but it should be a special bill. We should not be using the enterprise system for this, enterprise zone system for this type of tax break. I can appreciate the need in that story. We have it throughout Eastern Oregon also, and we're used to driving when we got to get there. There's another way to get there. So I don't have any problem supporting that. And please do not abuse the enterprise system. The enterprise zone system is so important for the future of Oregon. It's been around 10 to 15, 20 years, and it seemed to work pretty good so far. So why are we messing with it? Thank you.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair? It is not unusual that from time to time when we have a special need, have rates, such as a church, we correct, we do that. And plus, I have studied in many other instances we have discovered this is something unusual. Whenever it's a special need, it could be done. We hope the rules should be for everyone, but from time to time, when there's a real need, this is something unusual we can support. So, on that basis, that we can support.
Mr. Chair? Based on the unmitigated bonehead insistence of the House members that they're not going to budge on this, intransigence, I think intractable is the word I was looking for. I'll support your motion simply to get this thing moving because, in trying to weigh the two, the bill is more important than taking care of everybody in this particular bill. I think it's very important for rural Oregon. It's real important for timber industry and some other folks that have initiatives in this area. So I'll support your motion.
Mr. Chair, I find myself unable to support the motion. I believe that the information that is before us, in written form at least, from the mayor of the city of Astoria is compelling information, and I wish that we had time to hear more from the mayor and others who are most familiar with what the healthcare needs are in this particular community. I do have some familiarity with dialysis, given that a member of my family died as a result of that ailment, and the treatment was readily available. And so when I think about kidney patients and their need for access to quality health care and the possibility that we have people who have to travel a distance to get a quality of health care, I find that troubling. Some might call that a sidebar issue, given all that is
necessary.
Some might call that a sidebar issue, given the whole of the issues in front of us. But I think access to health care in our state and evening out that access is one of our responsibilities as legislators. So I'm focusing on that piece.
Mr.
further discussion? Madam, would you please call the roll?
Senator Cordman?
Aye.
President Dethridge?
Aye.
Senator Gourley?
No.
Senator Mann?
No.
President Montgomery?
Aye.
Chair Bill?
Aye.
The motion fails for not sufficient majority on two sides of the chamber.
Mr. Chair, I move this amendment coming from the Representative Taylor, and I move that the Constitution of the C-19 be adopted to the Constitution of the Korean. This amendment does give a local option, city and county must approve before they give. If they intend to give, if there is no action at all, the this is the conception we must get at all.
So then is this retroactive and effective? Is this prospective in the future?
Yes, that's including the
retroactive.
Retroactive.
And then moves -19?
Yes. C-19.
C-19 minutes, Constitution amendments to the same group, Constitution 1948. Discussion?
This is retroactive. Is this facility built now? I guess this facility is built.
It's under construction. I'm not sure when I completed it or not.
Follow-up question. And this gentleman started building this facility knowing what the law was. Is that correct?
I believe so. He applied for it.
So at this point, Mr. Chairman, I didn't come to Salem to do retroactivity law on things that people knew in advance. I'm very proud to serve in this body, but something like this kind of hurts my pride a little bit, so I obviously can't support this. This is, and if it was so important, where are the legislators from the district come in and testify because of the great need? The building was started knowing what was happening. The gentleman can't afford it, so now he wants it to help him, and I'm not there. I'm a no.
Mr. Chair, I'm deeply concerned. Every corner of our state, this has job creation is important. I don't want this healthcare facility to go bankrupt. That the mayor's letter mentioned how many jobs. He said 60 permanent family jobs. One job is important in that area, especially rural and some other areas, some of the areas unemployment is up here. And we have an obligation to help them. It's not just one person, one healthcare facility. If it means more jobs, economic development, I'm for it.
I guess I don't understand in terms of how a retroactive tax break is going to secure the financial well-being of this multi-million-dollar medical center. In terms of the PS province today, in terms of how the one-time tax break going to ensure his success in the future.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this tax break will live in the future. And we let's actually qualify him to get into this program. And enterprise zone that the tax break is for national 3 years, it could be extended to 5 years. It is not just a permanent tax break, only at the beginning, and at early stage, they might be able to survive with this tax break, and after 3 years, it goes back to the full tax break.
Maybe actually connect to clarify that, or
maybe ask you,
because if I'm not mistaken, I believe the enterprise zone does not exist anymore, so therefore, how can providing any benefits to them?
Chairman Hill, members of the conference committee, my name is Art Fish, Enterprise Zone Coordinator with the Oregon Economic Development Department. Your question is on target in the sense that even though the exemption would not, even if the zone existed, would not even begin until next year under any circumstances because the building is only being finished or was finished recently, the retroactivity is a product of the fact that the zone is terminated, that the local sponsors did not reapply in 1998, and so there's no administrative mechanism to sort of approve the pre-certification subject to changing the law, but the company did apply beforehand.
Mr. Chair, I have just one question. I'm just trying to search my recollection of my knowledge of enterprise zones for precedents of a retroactive provision such as this nature. Does one come to mind for you where we have passed similar types of legislation during the special cases?
Representative Decker, Chair Hill, members of the conference committee. None come to mind. In the time I've been here with this agency and dealt with 3 sessions worth of enterprise zone bills, there have been clauses that had a retroactive effect for matters of legal or technical certainty, but they had no particular investment in mind. However, before 1995, I believe there were laws that the legislature passed after a certain situation arose, and they had a certain carryback to potential exemptions that might have existed. But I know, except for that sort of rude recognition, I'm not sure.
Thank you. Further discussion?
May I ask, somebody, we're talking of a $4 million retroactive rate. Is that per year, or is that per total? Number one question, and follow that up. Their tax rate is probably $15 a thousand. So $4 million means we're anticipating $60,000 is what we're talking, $60,000. So what we're asking, Mr. Chairman, if I may make a statement or a question, is to write this guy a $60,000 check and then write it off. And so we might as well just go to Ways and Means, write him a $60,000 check, and then we'd have this all taken care of.
I think $60,000 is a lot of money, but let's consider 60 people fully employed, family with jobs. I think that considering those factors, I think 60 full-time jobs, they can recover more than $60,000 in the tax program, the state tax, and plus help their family fully, which is there, 60,000 or 60 jobs, full-time jobs. That I need to put this in there.
Well, Senator Lynn, I believe the issue, and Dr. Fish spoke to it, there is not an enterprise zone in which to get a tax break even if you pass this legislation. So there would not be anyone to give a tax break. Did I understand that correctly?
Representative Chairman Hill, members of the conference committee, when the zone terminates, there might be a variety of exemptions of companies that, you know, were processed or in the process of getting an exemption, and those exemptions might continue for several years after the zone is terminated. So that's not unusual in itself. This is an issue of the company was denied pre-certification before the zone terminated, and there's no way to, you know, change that inside administratively within the zone.
So how long would the tax break continue for?
Chairman Hill, members of the conference committee, the exemptions case would be for 3 years, so you're looking at 2001, 2002.
It would be $240,000. Every year?
Roughly. I think if based on Representative Montgomery's calculation of $15 per thousand, I mean $60,000 per year, and it is assessed at $4 million, you know that value might change. You're looking at something about $150,000 to $200,000 for those 3 year period, yeah.
And Mr. Chair, thank you. Mr. Fish, the denial was on what basis?
Chairman Hill, Senator Gordley, members of the conference committee, the denial of the pre-certification was based on the recognition that the law prohibited or made ineligible health care facilities. And that was a point of misunderstanding for the businessman in question. It was denied on that basis, and the appeal was denied before the magistrate decision on it.
Thank you.
If I may follow up on that, Senator Gordley, have you denied any other medical facilities in your recollection in the state of Oregon in the past, in any place in the state, like Cascade Locks or Burns or Lakeview or Astoria?
Chairman Hill, Representative Montgomery, members of the committee, I don't personally deny anybody pre-certification, but the local officials that handle that, I'm sure, have had to tell me.
Phrase, are you aware of any?
Oh, yeah. I've talked to such companies on the phone and given them the bad news, so it's not. But in this case, the pre-certification was formally submitted and was pursued even in the court.
So, Mr. Chairman, a little follow-up. So if we retroactive this one, we may have a whole bunch standing out there waiting. May I ask, somebody, we're talking of a $4 million retroactive rate. Is that per year? Is that per total? Number one question, and follow that up. Their tax rate is probably $15 a thousand. So $4 million means that we're anticipating $60,000 is what we're talking, $60,000. So what we're asking, Mr. Chairman, if I may make a statement or a question, is to write this guy a $60,000 check and then write it off. And so we might as well just go down to Ways and Means, write him a $60,000 check, and then we'd have this all taken care of.
I think $60,000 is a lot of money, but let's consider 60 people fully employed, family with jobs. I think that considering those factors, I think 60 full-time jobs, they can recover more than $60,000 in the tax, state tax, and plus helping their family, to me, which is there, 60,000 or 60 jobs, full-time jobs. There, I need to put this in your mind.
Well, Senator Lynn, I believe the issue, and Dr. Fish spoke to it, there is not an enterprise zone in which to get a tax break even if you pass this legislation. So there would not be anyone to give a tax break. Did I understand that correctly?
Representative Chairman Hill, members of the conference committee, when the zone terminates, there might be a variety of exemptions of companies that, you know, were processed or in the process of getting an exemption, and those exemptions might continue for several years after the zone is terminated. So that's not unusual in itself. this is an issue of the company was denied pre-certification before the zone terminated, and there's no way to change that inside administratively within the zone.
What the tax breaks continue for?
Chairman Hill, members of the Conference Committee, the exemption in this case would be for 3 years, so you're looking at 2000, 2001,
2002. $240,000.
Roughly. I think if based on Mercer Montgomery's calculation of $15 per thousand, and maybe $60,000 per year, and it is assessed at $4 million, that value might change. You're looking at saying about $150,000 to $200,000 for those 3 year period, yeah.
And Mr. Chip? Thank you. Mr. Fish, the denial was on what basis?
Chairman Hill, Senator Gordley, members of the Conference Committee, the denial of the pre-certification was based on the recognition that the law prohibited or made ineligible health care facilities. And that was a point of misunderstanding for the businessman in question. It was denied on that basis, and an appeal was denied before the magistrate decision on it.
Thank you.
If I may follow up on that, Senator Gordley, have you denied any other medical facilities in your recollection in the state of Oregon in the past, in any place in the state like Cascade Locks or Burns or Lakeview or Astoria?
Chairman Hill, Representative Montgomery, members of the committee, I don't personally deny anybody pre-certification, but the local officials that handle that, I'm sure, have had to tell
me. Rephrase it. Are you aware of any?
Oh, yeah. I've talked to such companies on the phone and given them the bad news, so it's not. But in this case, the pre-certification was formally submitted and was pursued even in the court.
So, Mr. Chairman, a little follow-up. So if we retroactive this one, we may have a whole bunch standing out there waiting to come on in line, get in line.
Mr. Chair. Well, the other thing that makes me nervous is the Measure 50 impact. When was the application first made? 98, 97.
Chairman Hill, Senator Cork, members of the committee, Measure 50 wouldn't have an effect. It would just end when the exemption began. And so pre-certification before a certain date couldn't change the exemption for the company. It would in theory affect what would have been the effect on the taxes.
Right, but if you go from a levy to a rate base, if it was during that same period of transition, mm-hmm. and you could have an impact on who pays in terms of the pool for property tax. That was the only concern I had.
Well, again, we're not going back. This bill, or I should say HB 2248-C, would not go back in terms of any exemption for Measure 50. The exemption would never have begun until 2000 at the earliest. And retroactively, there's no other company health care company
right
that
already
that put in a position to use.
Let's respond to the representative officer's question, if I may. Civilians have to open up this reaction, just a particular one location has to go. No one can apply for only, that was the only healthcare industry applied for pre-certification. When Astoria was the enterprise zone, so it is not going to work for them in practice, but possibly in the future with the limitation and healthcare industry, it could be possible in the future. We're talking about, Mr. Chair, the members of the community, local option. Local, when they negotiate local option, they will give usually $60,000 tax write-off incentive. They negotiate, maybe they might be able to give maybe 30 to 50%, maybe even 10%. Maybe all, they will look at the total picture of the economy and give it up to them to decide. Any local options in this area, if you work area, when they invest a larger amount, usually they require 25% invest in the local. So they will get all the tax write off. So this is a good compromise here. In the local, they might not see that argument on that. They might get a 10%. If they think this 68% is more important, they might get the whole thing. This is up to them to decide. So we are just leaving them free. We just have to write off at all.
The motion to adopt the dash 19 House Conference Committee Minutes to see and grow House Bill 2248 fails for lack of majority in votes.
You need a motion for the dash 20. You said it on those. That's the answer.
Finally, one more receipt.
Okay, I'd like to have a, I only have a letter.
This has a time limitation, December 31st, 1999, to 5:38. We don't get it before this time. This is additional registration. And but I move that seeing is training and then the other.
Mr. Chairman, what are we talking about now? We want to turn Cascade Locks over to Washington.
So this gives me an additional time limitation.
May I have a copy, please?
Senator Lynn moves the dash 20 minutes. The House comes 20 minutes to C. Gross House Bill. 2248.
Mr. Chairman, I give an explanation. Is this just more of the same, only word different?
Retroactive and $4 million?
Wait, do you know, Senator Lynn, can you describe it?
This is in line 17 that the resolution of the governing body of the Scrum Board is not later than December 31st, 1999. So they must, the reason must happen this year, and then if it not happens, then they can appeal anything. So this is an additional restriction.
Mr. Chair, Senator Griffin, I have a procedural question for Mr. Fish. No process question. Is there any, without the existence of the enterprise zone now, is there any mechanism for this company to apply? Absent an enterprise zone?
Chairman Hill, Senator Corcoran, members of the conference committee. No, they've applied for pre-certification, were denied without this bill to essentially say that, you know, they can be approved for their exemption in the future, kind of going back before the termination. No, they have to go to another enterprise zone that might exist, and as far as I know, they can't pick up, you know, building.
Mr. Chair, follow up. Sub 1 of Section 20 says the business firm that operates the facility applies for pre-certification on or after the effective date of this act. Is the assumption that on the effective date of this act, there has been a zone in the area?
Chairman Hill, Senator Corcoran, members of the conference committee, you have me at a little bit of a disadvantage. I've not seen the C-20.
Well, you're expected to know this, sir. You work for the agency.
But I
do pop quizzes here all the time, Mark.
I'm sure I can help you.
We just got it about the
Well, I'm just curious if it's even workable. I guess my basic question is, do you see this amendment as even workable in terms of the current construct of the lack of an enterprise zone in the Astoria area and the anticipation that this bill would create additional enterprise zones?
I can answer your question, Senator Corcoran, glancing at this, but this language in bold here is mainly concerned with establishing prospectively for future businesses after this act might take place in existing enterprise zones that would be healthcare facilities, and they can only use it in an enterprise zone that exists, of course, in terms of at least their initial application, and two, that zone would have to make a decision before the end of this year that that's something they want to contemplate, in addition to it being remote, rural, and everything else. But up above there at the beginning on line 5, the except is provided in Section 21. And Section 21 is the part of the existing bill that provides for the sort of way to help the Astoria situation with the dialysis center. So this would not work for that, but that's still otherwise provided in the bill.
Okay. So this amendment doesn't do anything to alter the original bill, but just simply amends it so that in the future, limits the health care facility exemption, the anyone who applies for now is going to be first.
Chairman Hill, members of the conference, it would limit it to anybody who was in an enterprise zone where the local government had chosen before the end of this year to allow them in the future. So it could go on, it could be for years in the future. Business operations plan is approved for pre-certification after notification to the state that the sponsor desires to exempt healthcare facilities under this section, and that the resolution for that has to be in before the end of this year. There might be there's 37 zones, I don't know, maybe 30 of them are remote rural enough for this to even apply. Let's say maybe half of them decide they want to be healthcare inducing, and the other half decide not to. It's sort of like the thing with the hotel-motel option where some of the zones have chosen to do it and some have not, and it's basically set for henceforth.
Further discussion?
Senator
Corcoran?
Aye.
President Deckard?
No.
Senator Gordon?
Aye.
Senator Lamb?
Aye.
Senator Gimli?
Aye.
Chair Gimli?
No.
The motion to adopt the dash 20 minutes, House Conference 3 minutes, House 2248, House Rack and Judy.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
President.
I'm not sure whether you have additional amendments. If not, but I propose that we will adjourn and meet sometime again. She's been here for nowhere. I have 10 letters.
Mr. Chair, before you drop that down, are we up to hear testimony during this work session? I have a representative from my city out there that I would like to hear from on the main bill. We stand it with the sense of the amendments. All of the amendments? Have none?
There's still one here that I know of. regarding
there's two.
There's two. The dash 17s and the dash 22s. They are written. One is not passed yet. And one, and the other one is written to amend the being gross version of the Senate receiving amendment.
One of my concerns, because I, you know, I'm here also representing my city. I want to make sure that those issues also get on the record, so if we can take time to do that.
Are you planning to prepare the bill? I'm just curious.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to explore here.
Yeah. You want to come up and talk with the bill?
We couldn't agree to that.
Okay. And the person I'm referencing from the city of Portland is Marge Kefoy. The map of the room.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Doris Kimmel from the Economic Development Department. After this bill left the Senate committee, there was still some lingering concern about the provisions in the bill that had to do with the distribution of the 30% back to the counties under the 15-year property income tax exemption. And therefore, the special districts, the cities and the counties got together with the department and talked over the issue to see what really is reasonable in terms of public policy. And so the parties agreed that it would probably be better if we tried to amend the bill further to allow the distribution to take place, first of all, up to the amount that of property taxes that might have been lost with the investment to the special districts, and then any further distribution above that to go to the sponsors, the zone sponsors, who may be the city or the county. We have the city and the special districts here to talk to those issues if you would like to hear any further comments.
That always makes me stand a little bit. I thank you very much. I gave you your
Thank you, Chair Hill. I'm a member of the committee. I'm Lynn McNamara from the League of Oregon Cities. As Doris said, we had some concerns that we started to try to deal with in the Senate and came to a resolution with the special districts and the counties to basically cap the amount that would be distributed to the taxing districts that lost property tax revenue to the amount that they lost. Steve is nodding. That was the intent, and we're all happy and urge you to adopt the dash 17. And the one issue that was raised for us by the representative of the Department of Revenue in the back of the room was that there is a reference in the amendment to taxable assessed value on line 4 of this dash 17 amendment. And given the way that taxes are actually calculated, the reference should be to real market value, because that is what the assessors keep track of, as opposed to taxable assessed value. There's no other. There's another place in the bill that it is referenced that it would be helpful to have changed.
Mr. Chairman, members of the conference committee, I'm Marge Kefoy, representing the city of Portland. I think the senator from Northeast Portland is asking the city's opinion on just a small aspect of the bill. While we do support the major bill, and it's important to our Portland Development Commission and also to OEDD and all regions of the state, we have a specific and very, very narrow interest, which is in Section 5, Subsection 7 of the bill. As far as I know, it has been non-controversial and it's not a subject of this particular conference committee, but that is our interest. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, representing the Special District Association of Oregon, concur with what my colleague has said about the P17 amendments. When we did the amendment in House Revenue Committee, the intent was not to give the potential for a huge windfall to districts, so they would gain excess money. We just wanted the distribution to be allocated on the basis of the amount of property tax revenue that was lost on, and this amendment clears that up.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Susan Morgan, state rep for District 46, and the bulk of my district is Southern Douglas County, which is the area where one of the investments on behalf of Roseburg Forest Products will take place. If we can amend and move the bill with the what's marked on the top as the C-22 amendments. And when I finish my introduction here, I'll turn the table over with the chair's kind permission to a group of people from Roseburg Forest Products. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the impact that passing this bill through is going to have on my district. Representative Messery wanted to be here with me today because this bill also impacts his district, and our districts are quite alike in a number of ways. Douglas County right now has an unemployment rate, the last time I checked, of 11%, which is a far cry from what the top end of the Willamette Valley enjoys. And the economic realities in the district, in my district in Southern Oregon, is quite different than it is up here. The amendments to this bill will allow investments on behalf of Roseburg Forest Products that will bring 150 family wage jobs to my district. These are jobs that will average about $35,000 a year, which probably isn't that big of a deal by Portland standards, but by Douglas County standards, it's a big deal, and it will bring stability and security to 150 families in my district. This is an important deal, and I would ask you to find a way through Senator Lynn's situation and bring this bill to the floor. This is a critically important bill in terms of economic development in rural Oregon, and it's a critically important bill in terms of stability and security for families. And with that and the chair's indulgence, I will turn it over to Roseburg Forest Products.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Jack McIsaac. I represent Roseburg Forest Products, and with me on my immediate right is Alan Ford, chairman of Roseburg Forest Products, and Scott Nelson, the CFO of the company. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Nelson, who I think will make, or Alan will make the presentation, and we can take it from there.
Thank you. Okay. Chairman Lemon Hill and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Alan Ford, president of Roseburg Forest Products. My father founded the company in 1936 as a sawmill business, and since that time, has grown to be a national leader in the wood products manufacturing industry. Over the years, my company has invested heavily in Oregon, with numerous mills, plywood plants, a particle wood plant, and whole log chippers. Today, Roseburg employs approximately 3,400 Oregonians and continues to be headquartered in Roseburg. As part of a campaign to bring high-paying jobs to economically depressed areas of the state, the 1997 legislature adopted long-term rural enterprise zone legislation. That legislation provides corporate income tax credits and a long-term property tax exemption to companies that make a substantial investment in rural areas with chronic unemployment. A company is eligible for the tax incentive if it invests over $50 million in new plant and equipment and commits to hiring at least 100 full-time employees at above-average wages. Roseburg Forest Products plans to invest at least $60 million in a laminated veneer lumber plant in the Myrtle Creek, Riddle area of South Douglas County, one of the most economically depressed areas of Oregon. That plant will create 125 to 150 new jobs at an average wage that is over 150% of the county's average wage. Roseburg selected this site after considering locations around the state and in California. The Economic Development Department introduced House Bill 2248 to clarify the 1997 law. Among other things, House Bill 2248 provides a method for determining the portion of the company's tax liability that the credit can be used to offset. The 1997 law says that the credits may be used to offset taxes relating to the new plant. However, the 1997 law does not specify a method to determine what portion of a company's overall tax payment relates to the new plant. In Section 14 of House Bill 2248, the department has prepared a method for determining which taxes relate to the new plant. Unfortunately, this method works well for some companies, but not for others. This method works well for companies just entering the state, with no other operations in Oregon. However, this method does not work for an established Oregon-based company such as Roseburg, which has made numerous high-value investments throughout the state. Under this method, the value of Roseburg's investments in the new plant would be diluted to the point that Roseburg would realize little or no benefit from the tax credits. This is not what the legislature intended in 1997. Today's proposed amendment changes the method for determining the portion of a company's tax payment that relates to the new plant. Under the amendment, a company will use the income data that it ordinarily maintains for determining the income of a new plant. Those data will have to either be prepared under generally accepted accounting rules or be the same data contained in financial reports that the company already would prepare to provide to lenders. If the company does not maintain those data under GAAP or provide them to lenders, then the company will follow a method similar to the method originally put out in the department's bill. The only difference will be that the company will use the book value net of depreciation to compare the value of its assets in the new plant to the value of its other assets in the state. This change means that a company can tout its assets and other plants in Oregon at their depreciated values instead of at their original cost. Overall, the amendment will help to level the playing field, I'll emphasize that, between the locally based companies such as Roseburg, with investments in multiple plants in the state over a number of years, and those companies entering the state for the first time. The amendment will have no effect on companies that bring major investments to the state for the first time. The amendment will make the 1997 long-term rural enterprise loan provisions work as they were intended to. The amendment will encourage Oregon-based companies such as Roseburg to continue to make major investments in Oregon, such as the $60 million laminated veneer lumber plant we're discussing in South Douglas County. The amendment will help our homegrown companies to create high-paying jobs in Oregon rather than elsewhere. The Economic Development Department supports this amendment, and Roseburg urges you to support it also. We urge you to pass this amendment to House Bill 2248 to the floor of both the House and the Senate with a due pass recommendation. I'll be happy to answer any questions. I'll have to my right Scott Nelson, who is our corporate treasurer, and maybe you can deal, if you want to get into all this county details, Scott can answer your questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Ford, what's the possibility of putting some of this expansion in North Douglas County and where it's really needed? All the money is down there in County and down south there. We need a little bit more just south of Eugene, a little bit north of Roseburg.
Chairman Hill, Senator Cochran, hang on, I'm being lobbied. Obviously, we're trying to position ourselves where we can best, work to this manufacturing operation. Frankly, the I-5 corridor in southwestern Oregon, and we also consider Northern California, but the location and frankly, the enterprise zone was a very, very key element in our making decision at this time and the location.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a question for the CFO. But do we have a dollar figure, a ballpark dollar figure, what this would mean for 2 years for buying in for the state?
Oregon-based companies such as Roseburg, which has made numerous high-value investments throughout the state. Under this method, the value of Roseburg's investments in the new plant would be diluted to the point that Roseburg would realize little or no benefit from the tax credits. This is not what the legislature intended in 1997. Today's proposed amendment changes the method for determining the portion of a company's tax payment that relates to the new plant. Under the amendment, a company will use the income data that it ordinarily maintains for determining the income of a new plant. Those data will have to either be prepared under generally accepted accounting rules or be the same data contained in financial reports that the company already would prepare to provide to lenders. If the company does not maintain those data under GAAP or provide them to lenders, then the company will follow a method similar to the method originally put out in the department's bill. The only difference will be that the company will use the book value net of depreciation to compare the value of its assets in the new plant to the value of its other assets in the state. This change means that a company can count its assets and other plants in Oregon at their depreciated values instead of at their original cost. Overall, the amendment will help to level the playing field, I want to emphasize that, between the locally based companies such as Roseburg, with investments in multiple plants in the state over a number of years, and those companies entering the state for the first time. The amendment will have no effect on companies that bring major investments to the state for the first time. The amendment will make the 1997 long-term rural enterprise zone provisions work as they were intended to. The amendment will encourage Oregon-based companies such as Roseburg to continue to make major investments in Oregon, such as the $60 million laminated veneer lumber plant that we're discussing in South Douglas County. The amendment will help our homegrown companies to create high-paying jobs in Oregon rather than elsewhere. The Economic Development Department supports this amendment, and Roseburg urges you to support it also. We urge you to pass this amendment to House Bill 2248 to the floor of both the House and the Senate with a due pass recommendation. I'll be happy to answer any questions. I'll have to my right Scott Nelson, who is our corporate treasurer, and maybe you can deal, if you want to give him a lot of this county details, Scott can answer your questions.
Thank you. Mr. Ford, what's the possibility of putting some of this expansion in North Douglas County and where it's really needed? All the money is down there in County and down south there. We need a little bit more, just south of Eugene, a little bit north of Roseburg.
Chairman Hill, Senator Cochran, I think I'm being lobbied. Obviously, we're trying to position ourselves where we can best, work to this manufacturing operation. Frankly, the I-5 corridor in southwestern Oregon, and we also consider Northern California, but the location and frankly, the enterprise zone was a very, very key element in our making decision at this time and the location.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe this is a question for the CFO, but do we have a dollar figure, a ballpark dollar figure, what this would mean 2 years for buying in for the state?
We expect that the, Chairman Hill, Representative Deckard, members of the Commerce Committee, we expect that the facility will start operation somewhere around January 2001. It's likely for the 1 to 2 year periods after that start-up date that the income level at that facility will be nominal, and therefore the credit would be nominal. After that time period, we would expect that the credit would be somewhere potentially as high as $600,000 to $900,000. $600,000 to $900,000.
Per biennium?
No, per annually.
Annually.
My name is Scott Nelson.
Chair, if I could just follow up.
No,
so the estimate, the company, this is just for this one facility, the estimate would be per year, and we might be talking 5 years down the road to get it ramped up, but per year, 5 years down the road, ballpark about $750,000 to $800,000 in terms of the credit from the state.
Chairman Hill, Representative Deckard, yes, that's generally true. I would expect after the facility is ramped up, and if this amendment were passed, the credit could potentially be as high as $600,000 to $900,000.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Whoever, Mr. Ford, or has this been discussed with the Economic Development Department, or are they okay on the amendments? Have they seen the amendments? The record showing you shaking his head yes, Mr. Chairman, so I think that's the only question.
Yes, we did look at the amendments, and we also shared those with the Department of Revenue to be sure that they would agree that this was workable and that it would be consistent with what we've done before.
And the Department of Revenue was suggesting anyway, the assembly of those basis.
Sure. Thank you, Chair. And Doris, you can nod your head and I'll get it on the record. Just for my own edification, this is very consistent with other enterprise zone activity that we have endeavored in, and from the department's perspective, meets all the, I guess, the criteria that we have done previously.
We were concerned about making sure that it was possible to administer it in a way that would be acceptable to the sponsors and to the Department of Revenue. So that's why we ran this by them as well, and it is consistent. And we're satisfied that the amendment is correct in terms of what they need.
I'm prepared to take a motion on the C-22 conceptual amendments we have before us at this point. The question is, these are down in Legislative Council now.
Yes.
This
is the cold that's been granted.
I'm going to pretend like I didn't say anything.
Any further discussion?
I have one more. I'm sorry to belabor this, but I just want to fill, and thank you, Mr. Moore, for taking time to come up here today to be with us. You stated how many full-time employees would be at this facility, and the wages would be paid above average in terms of comparable employment in Douglas County?
Yes, Chairman Hill and Representative Deckard, we're talking about 125 to 150. We're actually talking two phases in the plant. We'll start at one level, and we hope the success is talking to expand it past this point. The wages we're talking about are anywhere from $35,000 to $40,000 a year, I think, as somebody else spoke to. If you translate that back to an hourly wage, our base wage is probably around $13, $14 an hour with benefits probably $14, $20. And in our area, that's substantially above what you would consider to be an average wage level. Mm-hmm. But I answered your question.
You did. Thank you.
Members of the Congress, I just want to make it clear that there's never been a tax credit like this in an enterprise zone before, so it is new, but the company tax credit has to be approved by the governor, and to be eligible for this whole thing, there has to be local approval of the project, and the various criteria that are in the bill that you reviewed have to be met. And the apportionment is really a very technical issue. We struggled with it in terms of relating it to a facility in-state during the interim, and we developed just legal clarification, which was based on the interstate apportionment that's done among states. But clearly what you're hearing here is an excellent opportunity to make it much more powerful tool for in-state companies and provide a fair basis in which to judge their income for purposes of the credit. Thank you.
Any further questions?
We have checked what we said, and we will come back again. You can sleep on the Chairman, I understand the sensitive committee has asked for an LC on this document characterized as the C-22. And also to get amendments to the C-17, and I believe the League of American Cities had a technical fix. Let me do both of those. Would you like me to combine them into a single bill then? A single amendment to it or not?
Sure.
If it's your possibility to adopt them, that would be the fastest way to do it.
Mr. Chair, my statement is really for the good of the order.
I am personally pleased that we were able to get to this point in our discussion of the bill and various amendments this afternoon, and going back to the proposals that Senator Lim put before us, I sincerely hope that we find a way, and I'll just say if not in this particular conference committee, I hope that we are able to find a way, working with the Oregon Economic Development Department, to make that opportunity work on the ground in Astoria. Again, I'm concerned about the healthcare, the access to healthcare issue. And so my question is, how do we address that? What are some things that we can do proactively to make that work for that community? And if this isn't the vehicle, then we're real bright people here. We ought to be able to come up with something that does work.
For the record, I don't think anybody up here in the Senate knows how I feel about healthcare. Is taking this as a healthcare issue as far as our position on the issue. No, I don't, and I'm sure my friend here from the Beaverton area isn't either. But that's not the issue. It's not healthcare. I couldn't agree with you more. We need it in rural Oregon more so now than ever. But rural Oregon getting picked on this session, so you know, someone's got to holler once in a while. This just doesn't have to be the area I want to holler in, so I guess that's one thing.
When you find that area, would you let us know, Representative?
Thank you. We'll just stand up. There's a sailboat there.
Okay. With that, then, we are, without objection, we are. Okay.